just to agree with what you're saying, as we said before, Christ was being presented in those first three chapters, and you see at that classic or that famous portion of Philippians in chapter 2, even at the end of that, it says that every tongue should confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And it's interesting because I really caught on to those phrases too, in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord, and mm-hmm. be the same mind in the Lord. And I just thought of the portions back in, I think in John and other places where the Lord said, well, look, if I am your master and your Lord and I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. And he also said, I'm the Son of Man. I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. So he set that perfect example for us. And we really got to be submitting to him as Lord. And what better way than in verse 6 to take everything by prayer and supplication, to take that place of lowliness and dependence before the Lord.
We've got submission to his lordship and dependence upon him. We had that in verse 6, right? What else? What other attitude? There's a few more.
Do you think, Tim, in verse 4 when it says rejoice in the Lord, how can I rejoice in the Lord properly if there is something going on between myself and somebody else? I have to judge that to be really, to make sure that I have a clear link with the Lord. So that has to be dealt with first if I'm really going to move on with somebody else. And the other thing that comes up here is verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. So obviously if I'm dealing with some person else, again with conflict, there needs to be some an attitude of gentleness, not harshness, as I deal with that person.
The idea of gentleness is not, it's about not insisting your own rights. And we were saying that the conflict, it wasn't a matter of doctrine, it wasn't a matter of maintaining the Lord's rights, and it was a matter of my rights over your rights. And so there's this idea where just don't insist your own rights, but let your gentleness be shown to all men.
I like that. And the other thought about gentleness is that the word actually means forbearance or large-heartedness. Large-heartedness, just to be gentle. Be a big teddy bear. You know, be gentle. And just have a large heart to be able to deal with each other.
But don't keep it a secret.
Right.
Let it be known to all men. In other words, don't cover it up. It really needs to be displayed.
Let it be evident. Yeah, good. There's a couple more in those verses. What's some more attitudes? Okay, I just want to go through them, outline what we've got so far. Submission to his lordship, dependency upon him, verse 6. Then we jump back to let your gentleness, so there's that large-heartedness. And then we said rejoice, so that's 4 so far. And did you have another one for us? Sorry.
Yeah, I think there was one about not being anxious.
Okay.
I think a lot of times in those relationships, particularly the ones that are very close to us, that are very important to us, when there is a breakdown or the potential breakdown, it can cause a lot of anxiety because it is such an important relationship. So that would be one as well. And that ties in with what the Apostle Paul says next. You know, not being anxious, I mean, that's just normal. That's natural, right? But when feeling anxious, to pray. And the Lord can provide the peace that comes along with it.
Do we have something there? Is that the Lord is at hand? The Lord is near? Isn't it a sense of his presence? You know, though God seest me, that, you know, to realize that what I'm doing, you know, he sees the conflict. And if he were standing right there, I wouldn't behave the same way. If he was physically standing right there, I'm sure it would make us behave differently.
Could there also be the expression, he says, my other fellow workers whose names are in the book of life, or the Lamb's book of life. There's always, we always sometimes forget that those with whom we might have a disagreement or conflict are also going to be in heaven with us.
That goes back to what you were saying yesterday, right?
So the idea that we must consider them, that they are the Lord's and they will spend eternity with us. So why not behave or get along as we should in this scene?
Yeah, and that was really one of my points in that I had written down, is to see things as they really are, mm-hmm. not as we think they are.
According to God's name.
Yeah. And I think that's so important. We need to sometimes just step back from the conflict and look at the overall picture and really see, is it as bad as I'm thinking it is? Did John really mean that? Is that really who John is? I don't think so. So it must be that I'm reading something into it. And that's where verse 8 comes in. Don't you think?
A question keeps popping back into my mind from Amos chapter 3, verse 3. That just says, can two walk together except they be agreed? And it just keeps coming back to that. Like, if we're walking together, if we're not agreed, if we're not focused on the things of Christ and not looking towards Him, we can't be walking together. So it's important to resolve our conflicts. Otherwise, we're not walking together.
Mm-hmm. It's always good to think of the fellow believers, not as, there might have been, there could be some kind of offense given or some quarrel or something like that, but I think what helps to bring us to a point where there could be resolution is to think of them as being of the Lord, being belonging to the Lord. So I think if you begin with that thought in your mind, then I think it makes it easy. It gives you an easy path towards the resolution of the problem.
That's what we saw with Abraham and Lot, let there be no strife between us, for we are brethren. You have Psalm 133, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So there's just that thought alone that strife, if it were to come in, you could settle on the fact that we may disagree on this, but we both love the Lord, so it's work to, you know, where we should be.
Could I throw something in there? Not negative, but we both love the Lord, but my personality is totally different to yours. How do we deal with that? I'm one personality type, and you're a totally different personality type. But we both love the Lord.
Well, Peter and John were very different, and I don't never read of them conflicting at all. Peter was very outspoken and quick to do anything, and John would lay on the bosom of the Lord and wait to hear from the Lord's heart. And they're both strong servants. I don't know if there is conflict. Maybe you're whispering. Maybe there was a conflict.
Well, we were just saying that John was called one of the sons of thunder.
These are hot-tempered guys.
Yeah.
These are hot guys. Should we call them fire upon them?
Yeah.
But John, you find, as you're saying, was one who had a tender heart. He loved the Lord. The Lord loved him, and he loved being with the Lord. But I'm wondering if, in answer to your question, if verse 8 doesn't help. Help to bridge the gap between the personalities. What sort of things are true, what sort of things are honest, what sort of things are just, and what sort of things are pure, and so on. I wonder if that would be the things that help us to get away from the personality differences and we deal with these these characteristics that are here.